Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
At every level of that team on Sunday, and it came down to a fourth quarter collapse that we saw last time they played in the Super Bowl with less stakes this time, and now they have 15 games to rectify things and get back in the playoffs. How's that?
That's not bad. That's not bad, but I got one for you. You're playing a game without your number one receiver, without your number two receiver. Your best tight end or your all-pro tight end is hurt in the second half. Why did the 49ers pass 33 times and only run 25 times when their whole MO last year was a 50-50 type split?
Yeah, it is a fair question, Matt, especially like if you look at the end of the game where their final six snaps are all passing plays and they had three timeouts in hand.
Right.
Just kind of, and we've gone through this before with the 49ers, and you can go back to the Super Bowl in 2012 season where why don't they run the ball if you have such a great rushing offense? And that's a question Kyle Shanahan will have to answer. I mean, it seems like it comes up way too often as they get away from the run game, especially when you've got some really good run blockers. And I will say the Cardinals, you know, they played better run defense than I expected. There were a couple plays where he Mostert would get stopped at the line, which doesn't happen very often, but there were other times when he would get by for about 7 or 8 yards, and that's the average, right? So I don't know necessarily why they want to do that, especially when they know that the wide receivers are not part of the big game plan. And if that's the case, then maybe you need to change the game plan to adapt and let them into the game plan. And I guess that's what they tried to do at the end, and it failed and it backfired.
Cam, I know Kyler Murray's a handful, and Steiny mentioned to me the Niners had 12 pressures. It didn't feel like it, but was there any part of that game where you honestly watched the defense and said, you know what, I know it's week one, but they missed Buckner? How do you think the defense played?
I don't think the defense played well at all, to be honest with you. I mean, that was my question to Kyle Shanahan after the game, but it was my question to him on Monday, is I realize Kyler Murray has a escapability, and the 49ers knew that going in. Whether they didn't have the right spy in place to track him as he was escaping through the pass rush, it almost seemed like he was baiting the guys to come into the pocket, and then he knew exactly where to go to get past them. He wasn't 100% successful, but when he was, there was open field to run. And that is a concern going forward because they have other mobile quarterbacks they're going to face. And I guess the big alarming thing to me, and you bring this back, is they miss Buckner, right? But
right.
At the same time, they miss the other guys showing up. I mean, Bosa was in there a few times, and he's fine. I kind of worry about where was Eric Armstead, where was Solomon Thomas, and where were Dee Ford? Kinlaw, his debut, he made a couple plays. There were a couple plays he got pushed way too far back. It was not the defensive front that we're used to seeing or saw last season. And if we're going to blame it strictly on a mobile quarterback, fine. Then let's see them get after Sam Darnold this Sunday. Let's see them get after Daniel Jones the next Sunday and take over MetLife Stadium's backfield.
Cam Emmon, our 95.7 Game Insider here on the Bay Area's Chevy Dealers Guest Line, talking about the 49ers' Week 1 loss to the Arizona Cardinals. And Cam, I'm kind of with you there. I kind of figured there'd be a regression with this defense. Last year they were lights out with all the turnovers, all the sacks, all the pressures. But you mentioned Solomon Thomas, and I got to thinking about Solomon Thomas, and I kind of lump him in there with Dante Pettis. Are we past the point where we can actually – count on them to make plays for this 49ers football team? It's damn near draft position where Solomon Thomas was taken number 3 overall and Dante Pettis, they traded up for in the second round. I mean, at this point, why should we expect anything productive from those two players?
You know, it's a lot easier to see Dante, right, because he's a wide receiver and you see whether the ball is going to him, and he only had one go to him last game. And then he didn't necessarily throw a good block on a McKinnon run that made it down to the 1 yard line, right? And we've gone over Dante for the last year and a half going, what's his deal? That is a big question mark, because it seemed like he got back in the good graces in training camp, and I can't imagine that he came away with a good grade last game. Solomon Thomas also came into this season saying, hey, he's ready to go finally. This is year four contract year. He's bulked up, and he played, I think, half the snaps, maybe 40 snaps, and started the game, and he had a clean stat sheet. There were no assisted tackles. There were no sacks. There were no passes. I mean, I don't know what happened. I haven't looked at the all 22 yet, but it was not a great debut from him or Dante Pettis. It's one game. The Niners are not going to give up on Solomon Thomas yet. I mean, he's part of a defensive line rotation. And you have Javon Kinlaw that can work in there. That's why you drafted him number one, to see what more he can do. But these guys got to pick it up if this team's going to get going somewhere.
Cam, obviously we saw, I think, a limited George Kittle in the second half in the opener. What do you anticipate his health to be against the Jets? If he plays, do you think he'll be 100%?
Yeah, I don't think he's 100% because he's got a hyperextended sprained knee. So how do they limit George Kittle and save him from himself? And this has got to be on the 49ers medical staff and coaching staff, because if you leave it up to Kittle, he's on the field 100%. Like, he played every snap in the second half, wasn't targeted at all against the Cardinals. You have other options. You have Jordan Reed now, who only played 10 snaps in the opener. He caught two passes for, I think, 12 yards. I want to see more Jordan Reed out there, not have to put Kittle out there 100%. And if you're going to miss Kittle's blocking, well, you have a couple other tight end that can get in there too. You know, you drafted Charlie Warner, who's supposed to be a pretty good tight end blocker. The thing with Kittle is he brings so much energy and is the offensive catalyst, and when you don't have any wide receiver threats, you need Kittle's presence on the field. So, I mean, if he's playing, get him involved a little early so the defense has to pay attention to him, and hopefully go back to him. You know, Matt, this is one of the issues with the 49ers is they have not gone to George Kittle much when they get in the red zone. And I think they threw to him once on Sunday in the red zone, but overall their red zone offense was not going anywhere again. I just want to see them use him in the right spots. And he got hurt on that play in the red zone where he was lined up wide left, and Jimmy Garoppolo threw a high pass, and Buda Baker was able to close in on it after slipping past a Kendrick Bourne would-be block and was able to get to Kittle. So I don't know if that's the right spot to use him in. He's not an outside receiver like that. He's more of a guy coming off the line and use a little play action, dump it to Kittle. You saw all these tight ends score in week one, but you didn't see George Kittle score.
Cam, I know it's sports talk radio, so we get everything. Just craziest, you know, assessments of play. The NFL, everybody has a story. They're injured. And you just mentioned it. The Niners are decimated at the wide receiver position. But does that still stop you, and I'm asking, from grading Jimmy? Does he get a pass because he doesn't have the playmakers out there? What did you see from him Sunday?
No, he doesn't get a pass. I mean, I like Jimmy Garoppolo as much as anybody else does, but he didn't play a great game. If you want to talk about the pocket presence, it seemed like he was taking a while in the pocket. Maybe that's because the receivers were not separating the way they should, and that resulted in a couple sacks. He's playing behind a third or fourth string center who just got called up from the practice squad. You can make those excuses for him there, but when the game's on the line and you have passes to Kendrick Bourne or Trent Taylor that were late or underthrown, well, Jimmy knows he needs to make those plays better. Kyle Shanahan even will acknowledge it after the game, and that's not something that Kyle does. I mean, yesterday Kyle painted a rosy picture of how great everybody did. Every person we just about asked about, he said, oh, I played very well. And that's fine. That's being the positive coach, trying to keep their spirits up, and probably in the closed-door meetings letting them rip. I think everybody understands that was not a great game by Jimmy Garoppolo. He started out excellent. Right. The touchdown drive, the offense was in a good rhythm. They were flowing, and then it just kind of they hit a wall. And it was just there was such a, you know, last weekend with all the smoke in the Bay Area, and just there was just like this kind of a pall over thing. You go into your home stadium, there's no fans there. There's smoke in the air. There's not as much energy, you know. And then there's a couple plays backfire, and it seemed like all of a sudden the offense has kind of hit a wall, and they could not get back in that rhythm. And they needed Jimmy Garoppolo and everybody else to pull him out of it. And George Kittle gets hurt too, and it's just like, uh-oh. And they regress. So now the good news is you got 15 games to go to kind of spark it back up. You have some very winnable games coming up here against quarterbacks that are not as savvy, but they're also young quarterbacks. So we're not totally sure what they can do, but they're still on teams that aren't very good.
No doubt, Cam. Hopefully, if you're going to New York, to the Meadowlands out there in New Jersey, safe travels. We'll talk to you next week as the Niners take on the New York Jets this Sunday. Good stuff as always, Cam.
Dude, I ain't traveling anywhere. I don't think I'm allowed out of Pleasanton anymore.
So you'll be watching like us did. All right. No New York City for you. Always look for your –
I won't have a beer in my hand. I'll have a laptop in my hand. We'll be charting everything and watching these games closely, and we'll be doing the Zooms and getting your interviews and giving you a good analysis and hopping back on the radio with you guys. So I appreciate you having me on.
Right. Damn, I was looking forward to your restaurant reviews in Manhattan, but I guess I'd have to wait till next year. Cam, good stuff, man. Jeff Phelps, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, will join us next to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. and what's going on with the Browns. That will be brought to you by the Metropolitan Transportation Commission.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Talking Niners here on this lovely Tuesday afternoon. We're going to catch up with Jeff Phelps from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, talking about Odell Beckham Jr. What do you guys make of this? Mike Francesca tweeted out earlier today, "I hear the Cleveland Browns, who are clueless, are looking to trade Odell Beckham Jr." Now, it was inevitable that Beckham would be involved in trade rumors at some point, because it feels like he's involved in trade rumors every single season. But Mike Francesca's now is an NFL insider. I know he's a radio.com partner, but where is this coming from?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Versace, Versace?
Yeah. I mean, Beckham's just one of those names that's going to come up every year, I think.
Vergasian? How do you say the guy's last name?
I thought Beckham Jr. Was a top five receiver. I don't know anymore, Stoney. I would love to see him in red and gold.
All right. Hold on a sec about Francesa, too, by the way.
Francesa.
We got the guest? All right.
I'll got Jeff Phelps.
Because I have a hot take, but I'll wait.
Oh, boy. I want to hear the hot take. Maybe Jeff wants to hear it, too. Jeff Phelps from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, Ohio. He joins us here on the Chevy Dealers guest line. What's up, Jeff? Odell Beckham Jr. already? We couldn't make it to your week two game against the Cincinnati Bengals to bring up Odell Beckham Jr. rumor? What's going on with that?
I can't wait to hear the hot take. Is that from Daryl?
No, it's from
Steiny.
Oh, okay. I can't wait. Hey, nobody in Cleveland is saying they're trading the guy.
Well, you know what? I wanted to ask you that. So Mike Francesa is in New York. What is the Cleveland media? How does the Cleveland media react when he tweets something like that?
We talked about it today, and you know how our jobs work. Hey, here's a segment. Would you trade Odell Beckham? I would certainly look to trade him in the off season if it doesn't go well this year. I mean, why wouldn't you, right? But I think you deserve this year. The guy had 1,000 yards last year while needing surgery. And even though he didn't look like the Odell that he looked like when he was healthy in New York, you know, especially in his first 3 years, he's still pretty darn good. And I want to see if it can work this year before I move him. And especially because if the Browns move the guy, they have Jarvis Landry and the three of you playing wide receiver.
That's like the 49ers now.
Yeah, exactly.
With Debo out, that's for sure.
I got the NFL Sunday ticket, and every other commercial is Baker Mayfield. And I love the kid. I loved him coming out of Oklahoma. He's got an arm. He's got two stud receivers. And my question to you is, I look and they lose to Baltimore, 38-6? And I'm like, where's the disconnect? Is it Baker not taking that next step, or is it the coaching? What's not happening? And do you believe Baker's the guy?
I can't believe that they haven't figured out how to make it work with Odell. Mm. I mean, how much of a no-brainer is that, right? The guy's terrific. You've got tape on him when he was terrific. And now you've had two coaching staffs that can't get him the ball, at least in one game. All right, it is just one game, but it's a continuation of last year. And I, until I see him play a little bit more this year, now that he's had his surgery and supposedly is healthy. You know, he said a week or so ago, guys, he was asked, what's the difference between you this year and last year? And he said, well, I can run. And we thought, okay, great. And he said, last year I couldn't even lift my leg up and put it on a table. He said, that's how bad it was last year. We thought, all right, well, that's bad. Well, he dropped one ball the other day. Baker threw behind him repeatedly. And it just looks like, you know, and everybody here is saying, you're trying to force the ball to him. Well, yeah. Why wouldn't you try and get the ball to your number one receiver?
Right.
DeAndre Hopkins had 16 targets the other day. Devontae Adams had 17. You throw those guys the ball, right? But you figure out how to get it to them in a good way. And they haven't figured that out here. I don't know how they haven't figured it out, but they haven't. So is it Baker not getting him the ball? You know, Baker touches it every play. He decides where it goes. Odell can only catch it when it's thrown his way, and he's not done a great job of that. But the throws might not be right there. I'm perplexed. So I'm not sure what it is. But, man, how can you write off a guy like Odell? You guys have had some tremendous wide receivers. Nobody ever wrote off Jerry Rice. You know, he went off and went, you know, ended up in Seattle. And when T.O. was with you guys, well, he was incredible. But you don't write those guys off. You figure out how to get them the ball.
No doubt. Jeff Phelps, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, joining us here, courtesy of the Bay Area Chevy Dealers Guest Line. Jeff, what's Odell been like since he's been at Cleveland? Because he gets this rap that he's not a great teammate. He has a bad attitude. He's a BBB guy. What has he been like, especially during these times where he's not necessarily getting the ball? Because that's a situation I look at personally where I say, Landry Beckham, it should work. Those are two dynamic receivers, but when you don't get those guys the ball, things can get sour. So what's Beckham been like in that locker room over the last year and a half?
I've heard nothing but good things. I've heard he's been a good teammate, and he says all the right things. He has a willingness to block, which for a guy his size, I think is saying something. You know, if we were all built like that and playing in the NFL, I don't know if I'd be ready to go block somebody. But he seems to be. And he said today, he said, all I'm really concerned about is winning. He said, if we win some football games, everything takes care of itself. Now, that's what you're supposed to say, right? We all know that. But we've not seen anything to the contrary. Now, he's an interesting guy. He plays the diva position in the NFL. And I don't think any of us could sit here and say he doesn't have some diva in him. I'm glad he does. You know, that's what makes those guys good. And it just hasn't clicked here. And if it's not clicking in another four or five games, then I think you're going to have to take a look at some things. But I don't know what that means. Does that mean you bench Baker and you play Case Keenum? Doesn't mean you're not going to bench Odell. Who are you going to play? Kadarius Hodge or Rashard Higgins? You're not going to bench Odell Beckham for those guys. But something has to give. And if Kevin Stefanski and Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator, can't figure out how to get a guy who at one point looked like a surefire Hall of Famer, the football, well, shame on them. I mean, figure it out, guys. It can't be that difficult, can it, guys?
No,
let me ask about the other part of that equation. At his best, what is Baker Mayfield? What kind of quarterback do you envision him, or does Cleveland envision him, when he's playing the best football he can play?
I think the bottom line, and it's an easy description, I think everybody here would like to think that we have a franchise quarterback. And in Cleveland, that means we don't have to worry about who the quarterback is next year. The bar's pretty low here, guys. Since 99, they've, 25, 6 quarterbacks? I don't know. There are a ton of them. And we just would like somebody who you know is the starting quarterback. That doesn't mean that he has to be a Hall of Famer. It just means he has to be pretty good. And the second half of his rookie year, he was really good. When he was coming out in that draft class, he was not the guy I wanted. I said Josh Allen on our show, and oh boy, I got ridiculed like crazy. And then when they drafted Baker, I thought, all right, well, let's see. Second half of his first year, I thought, okay, I'm wrong. This kid can play. Well, he hasn't played like that since. You know, it's been very, very short bursts where we see it. I'm not sure why. Last year he was under siege. The offensive line was not good, and he handled it terribly. And then he had Odell. Did that put pressure on him to get the ball to Odell? I don't know. But he did not look like the same guy. And it was with the same guy calling plays. It was Freddie Kitchens. And, you know, Freddie got run out of town after a year as head coach, and people love blaming Freddie for everything. Freddie was also calling the plays when Baker was at his best. So go figure that one out.
Right.
And wow. I think the bottom line is, you know who your quarterback is, and you hope you know who it is for the next 5 years. I think that's what people are looking for. And for the first time since he's been drafted, I think people are wondering, okay, is he actually that guy? And look what happened with Jameis Winston. Jameis led the league in passing yards. They didn't get his contract picked up, right? And he ends up as a backup. Now, he also led the league in interceptions. But Jameis can play quarterback. So the leash on quarterbacks isn't what it used to be. And I wonder, because Andrew Berry is the new GM here. Kevin Stefanski is the new head coach. They didn't draft Baker. Berry was part of the staff when he was drafted, but he was not, you know, the man in charge. And he left shortly thereafter. So I would think you're going to have to see some productivity, or they're going to be looking for a quarterback.
Jeff, man, wow. Good stuff, man. We got to talk to you soon, man. I'm sure out there in Cleveland with that Browns football team, you guys never lack for content, that's for sure. Good luck. We'll see what – man, I mean, we're watching from afar. The Browns are always in the news, so we'll see what they do Thursday against the Cincinnati Bengals and their number one draft pick, Joe Burrow. Good stuff, Jeff. Thanks for joining us on such short notice.
Guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Anytime, Jeff Phelps, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, joining us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers Guest Line. Visit BayAreaChevroletDealers.com to find a dealer in your area. Let's jump back into the 49ers and whether or not they need a wide receiver. We'll play some sound from Shanahan about some of the wide receivers here on the football team and maybe some wide receivers that are not on the football team. We'll do that coming up, plus more of your phone calls. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Sponsor Hill, Max Diamond, Sterling, Guru Johnson, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.